Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. This is an emergency pod episode because I wanted to make it really clear what we think is a potential deadline that you need to know about that kind of popped up on us. And I thought it'd probably be a better idea to just get this out here ahead of schedule as fast as possible so that you could make your decisions that you might need to make. And it's about refunds, so it's not going to affect most people, which is good. So this is a deadline that is luckily a lower stakes deadline than some of the deadlines out there, like the IDR account adjustment at the end of the year. But it's still a deadline that we think of anyways, and so I thought I would tell you about it. What we're talking about is during the COVID pause, people have been able to ask for refunds during that COVID pause for any reason, you know, of any direct or Department of Ed-owned loan. So if you had made payments of any kind, March 13th to what they're now saying is August 28th, then you can request a refund. Now, in a recent presentation that was made by the FSA, Department of Education Student Loan Ombudsman, this is a public presentation that's on YouTube. It was given to the UC system. And she states on that presentation that you have to request a refund by August 31st. Now, this was a presentation that was delivered a month ago. The new date on the federal website that was just posted says August 28th. So what we think is that to get a refund for payments made during the COVID pause, you need to ask for a reinstatement of your loan payments by August 28th, end of day. So that's by 5 p.m. August 28th, which is a Monday, which is why we wanted to come out with this as an emergency pod instead of a normally scheduled pod. So we might have a little more extra episodes the next several weeks as payments restart. So what does this mean? Let's think about some applications to this. Let's say you want to ask for a refund, but you also don't know if you need to not do that because of trying to consolidate to benefit from the IDR waiver. So an example of this is we had a case where somebody had, I'm just going to pick a random number to not give away the person, but they had about, let's say, 60,000 of student loans that they had paid down during the COVID pandemic, but they realized they could get PSLF. So they realized that was a big mistake. So they contacted their servicer, asked for a refund of that 60K. Now, the loan balance was reinstated on student aid right away, but they only received about 5,000 instead of 60. So they thought that we'd given terrible advice. And they said, wait a second, why this is terrible? And we said, no, it's not. The 60K that was reinstated on FSA, now you can go ahead and consolidate the whole thing because you were waiting on that, because you can't get a reinstatement of a refund for after a consolidation's occurred. What happens is this person can get the loan refund reinstated on the student aid website. And then she has to wait. Now, this is ridiculous, but I'll tell you what the servicer quoted. Mohila right now is quoting up to 150 business days to issue all refunds. 150 business days is like 300 days, right? That's almost a year. So you cannot wait around on all of your refund checks coming in to take action on the IDR waiver if you need a refund. Now, some people are getting massive savings from this, absolutely massive savings. And let me give you an example. We had somebody who'd pay down their loan to about $4,000. They realized they could get forgiveness, so they asked for a $240,000 refund, which is what they'd paid during the COVID pause, and they got the full thing reinstated, and now they're going to get forgiveness on that $240K they'd paid off. That money can now be used to buy a Lamborghini. I mean, I'm joking around. Obviously, they're going to use it to save for important goals, save for the kids' college education, take a nice vacation, maybe buy a new family car. It's amazing the kind of things you can do if you don't have to use it on the student loans, right? In this person's case, they were eligible, they didn't know. That's tons of savings. So that's very exciting. Now, maybe you made a smaller payment during the COVID pause. Maybe you only paid, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. If you're going for forgiveness, that's literally money that could be back in your pocket that does not have to be in the government's pocket. Right, all you have to do is contact your servicer and make sure you have a record of contacting them before August 28th. So, you know, ask for a chat transcript or, you know, ask for the caller ID of the person that you're talking to so you can write it down, save it somewhere, send it to yourself as an email, just so that you know that you had proof that you talked to somebody before the deadline and requested the refund. Again, this does not apply to people who, if you've already consolidated your loans, you can't go back and ask for refunds made during the pandemic. What about before the pandemic? You cannot get any refunds made on payments before the pandemic. What about after August 28th? No, you cannot ask for refunds on payments made after August 28th. This is normally not a thing. This was only during the pause they were allowed to do this. And so I think that they're saying from a legal perspective, they don't have the ability to refund people's payments if it's not an active federally declared student loan pause. And so this actually could be a misinterpretation. I want to tell you that. So just so you know, we could be misinterpreting this. You might be able to ask for a refund after August 28th. And maybe they're saying that you can only, you know, essentially the deadline is only on the payments made until August 28th. You can ask for the refund after that date for payments made up until August 28th. But based off of this public presentation that we found from a student loan ombudsman, a very reputable source, right, that said that you have until a specific date to ask for the refund, because of that, I think that we need to treat this as an actual deadline, which is, again, unexpected. This kind of popped up on me. I was away on vacation, and of course, something like this always happens whenever I go on vacation. But this is something that I thought at least some people listening to this pod need to know and need to hear, because it could save people, in many cases, six figures. And so anytime something could save somebody six figures, I want to get the message out there in case it might benefit you or somebody that you know. Now, if you didn't do anything with your student loans at all during the pause, good news. You don't need to worry about this. I'll talk about maybe something else in a second that you might be more interested in. But that's the gist on this refund thing. So when in doubt, ask for a refund of all payments from the start of COVID. Now, if you've already paid off all your student loans, you might as well give it a shot and try anyway. That's what I would do. I would just reach out, ask if you can get a refund if it applies to you. So I want to talk about one other thing in today's emergency pod. This is not an emergency, but I still thought it would be relevant to talk about it. Is there anybody else out there that should pay back their student loans anymore? Should anybody actually pay off their loans and get it down to zero? Or is that just a crazy idea with everything going on these days? If you are looking at the math on our calculator on our website, studentloanplanner.com, you can go into the calculators section of the menu there. In the menu, there's a calculators section. You can go click on the one that does the save plan, and we can model your effective interest rate over time. So there's a little section you can click, and it's a drop down, and it'll show you your effective interest rate over time on the save plan. And so if you do that, then what you'll be able to figure out pretty quickly is, do you qualify for an interest subsidy when the COVID pause ends? If you do not, and if you're in the private sector and you have income greater than your debt, then you need to think about refinancing your loans, which is a crazy thing to say after 3.5 years of a paused interest in payments. And, you know, some people would say I deserve to go to jail by even saying something like as crazy as that. You know, it's federal all the time. And if you ever leave the federal system, you're crazy. Some people do say that. Here's why I don't think that they're right. If you were to get some sort of cancellation down the line, it's going to exclude higher income earners. So if you're making above, you know, the recent cancellation plan was $250,000 for a couple or $125,000 for an individual. So if your joint income is above $250,000, you're going to get left out of any types of like broad cancellation efforts. So you don't need to worry about leaving like, you know, $10,000 behind or $20,000 behind or something like that. Now, what about the IDR account adjustment, the IDR waiver, PSLF waiver, all that kind of stuff? Remember I said if you can get forgiveness, you should. If the math works out where forgiveness is the best opportunity, or even if it's at all uncertain as to whether or not forgiveness will be the best opportunity, you should keep your loans federal. If you have any medical conditions, or if you have insufficient disability insurance, or if you have, you know, any kind of anything going on at all health-wise, you should keep your loans federal because you're able to reset your payment if your income falls, right? You can get a $0 payment if something happens and get full and fully subsidized interest. If you get treated for cancer for an extended period of time, you can request a cancer treatment deferment, right? There's all kinds of stuff that you can do with your student loans that you can do if they're federal that you cannot do if they're private. So who should still consider paying back their student loans? You know, give you an example. Somebody's making $300,000 a year. Let's say they're a third or fourth or fifth year, you know, big law associate in New York or something like that. And they have $100,000 of student loans and they're paying it back at a 6.8% interest rate. And you can refinance and get a 5 or 5.5% interest rate. You're saving, let's say you pay it off over the course of a year or two, you know, you're only saving on that spread. You're only saving about a 1 or 1.5%. So that's, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 a year. Now, on our site, of course, you get the refinancing bonuses as well. So the refinancing bonuses for six-figure refinancings are generally about $1,000. So you add that in as well, and you're getting after-tax savings of maybe $2,000 to $3,000 per $100,000 that you have for refinancing. Now, is that a lot? No, it's not. But it is. Is it something? Is it, you know, it's after-tax savings when you do the refinancing with the bonuses. So pre-tax, it's probably like $4,000 or $5,000. You know, is that something that is worth your time? the way I would phrase that is, would you open a checking account for $5,000? Checking accounts are not easy to close. It's a pain in the butt, takes time, it's annoying. So, but people still open checking accounts for $500 bonuses. So if you were to get a $5,000 bonus, a lot of people would go open a checking account for that. That's the same way that it is really for refinancing with the math for people that really would benefit from it. Now, some people would say after the watching 3.5 years of zero interest, I'm never going to refinance my loans ever. That's a reasonable response. What's also reasonable is to say it's very unlikely that they're going to pause student loans anytime in the near future, because to do so would effectively, you know, I mean, you'd have to have another national emergency on the scale of COVID for them to be able to do that legally. Is there a chance that could happen? Sure. Is it likely? No, it's not. So having student loan debt is something that nobody actively wants to do. It would sort of be like, hey, do you want to have a, I don't know, pick anything that's recurring and chronic and annoying, and like, do you want it? No, obviously not. As soon as you can get rid of it, you're going to get rid of it, right? Yeah, I would love to throw my cable bill in the trash. Like, that would be awesome. You know, give me any other option besides that, right? But if the only way to handle your loans efficiently is to do an income-driven plan and go for forgiveness so you can do all the other fun stuff in your life you want to do, you should do it. If you want to get rid of your debt really fast because there's just no way you can get forgiveness and you've run through the math and that's a positive thing that you've found, then you should do that. What matters is it's up to you, right? What can get you the most life freedom? So this refund thing, what's the downside? Not a lot of downside. Should you do it? Yeah, probably you should, because not a lot of downside. So if you made any prepayments or any payments in your loans between March and March of 2020 and August of 2023, ask for that refund, because no reason not to. IDR waiver, should you roll the dice and take the chance? Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people get all their loans forgiven due to following our advice. Was it a guaranteed thing? No, the only thing guaranteed in life is death and taxes. So you got to take the chance. You got to get off of the fence and just decide, is this a risk-adjusted smart thing for me to do? And if it is, you should go for it. And that's how we approach student loan advice. We don't tell people, I tell our consultants, don't tell people something's guaranteed, because I can't guarantee anything but death and taxes, right? So what we can say is there's an extremely high degree of probability that this is what you should do. And what we want people to do is really embrace the uncertainty, embrace the frustration, the annoying aspects of this broken system, and say, this is all my problems with it. What do I do going forward? What can I do to minimize the stress in my life? So can I live my best life? That's all you can do. That's all any of us can do. So we're going to try to come out with more emergency episodes like this. I'll probably throw in a couple other random musings just to keep it interesting. I am sorry it's just been so difficult to get a lot of this content out via the podcast like we normally might, just because everything's so new announcement this week, new announcement next week, boom, boom, boom. It's a little difficult for a recording schedule when they're coming out with so many things and moving the goalposts constantly, but we're going to do our best. So I hope that you wouldn't mind sharing the Student Loan Planner podcast with a friend. And maybe if you have a question for another episode that we could do, if you want to ask a question about everything going on with payment restart, all the stuff happening, you can go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail and leave a message there. And I do promise we are working our tails off to try to get more availability for student loan consults. We don't have great availability right now, but it's studentloanplanner.com/book if you want to try and see if there's any cancellations. I would just say, as long as you get a plan before the end of the year, most everything we can deal with whenever you're able to get an appointment. That would be my suggestion, is as long as it's before December 31st, almost everything's on the table. After that, we'll still have tons of ways to save people money, but it's not going to be quite as good, is the honest answer. So I do hope that you're able to get an appointment scheduled before the end of the year if you need either a new one or a follow-up one. studentloanplanner.com/book for that. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's episode. Follow us on all the socials. We like to post breaking stuff like this over there as well. Thanks for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast.